explore a specific area of peevishness.
What is peeve?
Peevishness, like when somebody says, like, oh, that's my pet peeve.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just asking that for the listener who may not know what word means.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
No.
Oh, okay.
I was.
Every podcast is somebody's favorite.
I just figured there's probably someone who doesn't know what that word means.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's probably just a listener, and definitely no one who
makes
the show.
No, certainly not. Yeah. No, that was a good catch by you.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so peevishness, yeah. I just, you know, if I'm peevish, like, I'm hard to please. Don't like it.
Oh, okay.
You know? And so if you have a pet peeve, it's like, I'm not in general hard to please, but like in this one area.
But this one I put on a leash and walk it.
Exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't love me, but
I love it for sure.
I love it.
Yeah. But the, a specific area of peevishness is, we've got a buddy who just like, and it was surprising when I learned about it, because he's just in general, just like the most gentle person in the world.
Hmm.
Just like so sweet. So warm.
Yeah.
And so this was a surprising thing to be peeved about. But he can't stand it when people use the phrase no worries.
Yeah.
Like, just, it just pisses him off.
Yeah, no worries.
He's like, well, now I'm worried.
Yeah. I wasn't worried.
But now, do I need to be?
Yeah. No, there's no reason why you should be worried.
Do you remember his objection to the no worries thing?
Vaguely.
There were rules. I was kind of confused. There's a lot of rules.
I feel the need to check in anytime I respond to someone's apology now. Like, if someone is like, hey, Thomas, sorry this. And I'm like, oh, no problem.
And then you're like,
wait, is that allowed?
Oh, yeah, but what?
Yeah.
Is that the correct response to? Yeah,
how do you do this? So we've now found out that there is a council of this.
That's right.
This response, and it is this one person. Golly.
Which
he's so never going to listen to this show again.
Well, I mean, he's already not listening.
He's already not listening, so.
That's why I feel like this is a safe space to explore.
I need you to know that I had an idea this week and I almost did it, but I decided against it.
Okay.
I was going to dead serious. Dang, I wish I wasn't ruining this. I think it's a good idea.
Well, then save it.
Well.
What was it?
I was going to dead serious do the entire spiritual bit of my episode word for word from your sermon on Sunday and act like it was mine and see if you responded. I was like, I had Mark 14 pulled like up and everything.
Scripture.
I'm on the drive over. I was like, that's what I'm going to do.
Hey, no worries. You can do that.
Oh,
thanks. You worried? Didn't make you worried.
I'm so confused now. Oh man.
Oh gosh. Yeah. It was just so surprising because like I always feel like no worries is a comforting sentiment.
Yeah. I feel safe. No worries, man. Hey, no worries. Yeah, it feels chill. It feels like, I have a friend who, when we were in college, he always said in another life I would have lived on the West Coast and been a surfer. It turns out he now lives in Hawaii and is a surfer, so like it worked. But it always makes me feel safe when someone says no worries, because I can't imagine feeling safer than being with a stereotypical someone who surfs on the West Coast. I don't know what I'm saying.
Surfer boy.
You would just start a that's
lost
a perfect
in the weeds on that.
Yeah, well, no, because I realized I was troping so hard right there, and that wasn't fair of me.
Yeah,
it wasn't fair. But I'm thinking specifically of Argyle.
Yes, of course.
I would feel so safe around Argyle at all times.
Like, I mean, Argyle is so chill.
Yeah, about that feels safer. So when someone says no worries, I always assume that it probably comes from that culture.
So I think yes, I think you're right, first of all. But also, I'm a person that, I said this on Sunday in my sermon, if you want to poach this part as well.
Okay.
But there's very few feelings in the world that feel worse to me than being in trouble.
Yeah, of course.
So if somebody says no worries, it's like a definite confirmation that we're good.
Yeah.
Hey, don't worry, you're not in trouble.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you don't owe me anything.
Mm.
Don't worry, it's all good.
Mm.
So I always feel that as very comforting. But our buddy, it riles him, like his blood is boiling.
Yeah.
If you say that, because he's like, well, I wasn't worried.
Yeah.
And now I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And now I don't know the rules.
I don't either.
Maybe we should invite him on the show and ask him to give us the rules of no worries.
You know, I feel good about that, except for the fact that we're putting a mic in his hand.
Ooh.
And he's already...
Actually, that's a really good point.
He's pretty peeved already. At a previous episode that was at him.
Tunamac, Tunamac, Tune, Tune, Tunamac, Tunamac, Tunamac.
I've gotten some responses to Tunamac.
Tell me.
Well, I got one the other day from our dear listener, Sam Lewisy.
Okay.
And he, I think if I'm summarizing correctly, he said he was way out on Tunamac.
Yeah.
But he's cool with just tuna on a cracker.
Okay. But like he would eat just unrefrigerated bagged tuna.
It sounds like it, which to me is the worst part of the whole
aluminum
equation.
Set,
but also, now that I'm thinking about it, that Sam is, he's dairy free. So it would make sense that he wouldn't do the tuna mac. Although like if you're dairy free, can you eat like Easy Mac? Like, is there cheese in that?
I think
is powdered cheese, cheese.
I don't think so. I don't think it's cheese.
Have you ever taken the time to think about Easy Mac? Let's be for real. It's delicious. I would drink it instead of coffee if it was an option.
Oh, stop.
Dude, it's so good. But then you like rip that pouch and you pour it in there and you're like, what am I putting in my body?
What chemical is happening to me right now?
Yeah, sometimes you like check the date on the like the produce, like the deli meat in your fridge, and it's like October 23.
Oh no, that never happens in our house. Christy throws all deli meat away within a week.
Oh no, you didn't hear what I said.
Oh.
I like sometimes you just get that thing that's got so many preservatives in it. Oh, and you're like every once in a while we'll grab the wrong milk and it's just like, you know, like vitamin D milk, whole milk.
Yeah.
And it expires in 3 months. And you're like, wait, how? That's not how milk works. From cow to carton, you got like 2 weeks.
Did you get
That was good. Yeah. Ooh, yep. Mm.
Have you ever gotten any positive tuna mac responses?
No.
You took so much time to say no. Oh gosh. Oh. Like you took so much time that I was like, oh, he's collecting the list.
Oh, I'm thinking of all the people. No.
Hey, look.
I think there's three people who listen to our show and not right. two because
yeah.
Tune is gone.
No worries, though. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
It's fine. How sleepy are you right now? If you had a hat on, how sideways would it be?
Ouch.
Okay, come on.
Ouch.
It's just true.
Owie.
When Thomas Lee's sleepy, it's just, it's not a theory. Like,
it's a theory.
It's not. When Lee's sleepy, if he has a hat on, it's just like slightly turned to the side. And you can just tell.
I just don't know if. That's true.
There's a lot of empirical evidence.
That you,
if somebody decided to get their PhD and needed to defend that, and they like they were just saying, this is my talking point.
Why would anybody get their PhD in that?
I don't know. Y'all pointed out to me the other day that PhDs are questions nobody's ever asked before, and then they're finding evidence.
It does have to be novel.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't know that. It shocked me.
Has to be a thing nobody's explored before.
Yeah, which I think is cool. I don't think anybody's explored the altitude of your hat, the lie angle of your hat when you are with sleep.
Because it's the dumbest question of all time.
If anything, if it can be proven, it's scientific.
Do you have a scripture for us? Welcome to Ancient and New. This sure. is a podcast where we explore the scriptures. And Thomas has just ignored a phone call. I don't know who just called him, but we're sorry that
he... No, you're not sorry. It's Xfinity, and they're trying to sell me on, like, business class internet. Okay.
Well...
It's like, my child doesn't...
It's like, too bad, Xfinity. We already have that at the church, and we know how much it sucks.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Psalm 131.
Ooh.
To the ascents...
The campfire songs. When you're reading the Psalms of Ascent, do you think of the SpongeBob campfire song?
Now I do. That's a great episode. Just a great, that's a great moment in history. I'm just going to read this whole thing because it's three verses.
Absolutely. What if you only read two of them?
when I finally read like the middle one. This is near the end of the Psalms of Ascent. We're just like three more after this, maybe? Go through 134?
Yes.
Let's see here. Here we go. My heart is not proud, Lord. This is of David. David wrote this. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. Haughty? I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. I liked this for a myriad of reasons. One, I want you to talk about at some point, and I didn't tell you this, with someone, everybody's first podcast, we don't plan. So I did want you to talk about, as someone who has three fully grown children, what, like, the experience of a weaned child and contentment with its mother. You know, we have a child who still drinks formula and starting to eat some food. Anyways, and maybe I'm taking that too literally, but I was interested
it's
in
meant to be extremely literal there.
Yeah, so I wanted to really hone in on the, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. So I just like the idea of, like, it's an interesting thought for me because I think, I don't know David personally, but, like, I think as someone who, I realize how ridiculous that sounds now. I meant that sincerely. And now I'm like, well, yeah, he lived like 3,000 years ago or whatever. But, like,
that would be so weird if you knew David personally.
Yeah, what if I was like, yeah, we just had coffee.
Oh, gosh.
I feel like I know him as well as a human can today.
Sure.
Because you read a lot about him and a lot of his stuff. And yeah. David's a poet. So, like, the idea of him not being slightly dramatic is a little tough because that's an unfair characterization, but, like, it's not if you read his works.
No, he is the most dramatic
person. Right. So he's all over the map with his feelings all the time. So I'm wondering if this is one that was written later on. I don't know, but, like, it seems to be written through the eyes of someone who has a lot of experience and has gotten to a place of this, like, this is who I am, or he's calling himself to that, which I think is really cool. Either way, he's aware of something, I think, which is, I've either been this way in my past or I am this way. So I'm going to talk about from my experience that this is who I've become and this is what I'm like now because of it, which I think is really cool. Or he's saying, this is something I need to kind of call myself towards because it's really cool. So either way, I think there's a really cool thing going on here, which is David pointing out just what it, like, the idea of calming and quieting himself, because, like, he's not giving a ton of thought to things that he just can't solve, things he doesn't know the answer to.
Exactly, dude.
He is where he is, and he's going to be content with it. And I think I think it's a really cool thing that, like, as believers would be really helpful for us.
Well, it's a great picture because for one thing, like, it's just a great picture that works at every level of the illustration or the metaphor. Like, so the metaphor goes like this. Like, so when you have a baby, a newborn baby to, like, a year old baby or an 8 month old baby or whatever is like nursing, drinking milk, and then eventually, like, what, around 6 months, getting some, 6 months, some solid, they get food, some pouches, some applesauce, some strained strained peas or whatever
it is. Jude's working with some, like, apple and spinach pouch right now.
Right. Which, and
to each his own.
Yeah. You guys don't feed him, like, tuna mac or anything, do you?
I don't. No, that will not be brought into our household.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Rob right now is just like, I cannot wait till I babysit him.
You know, Rob's baby Keller, she's going to be, like, just raised on tuna mac up.
She's just, ooh, ooh.
But, like, you know, the baby, it's like the baby goes from nursing to nursing. And when the baby's hungry, the baby lets you know. Like, our first baby was Anna. I mean, she would just scream when she was hungry.
Yeah.
Like, she'd, in the middle of the night, wake the entire house up screaming. And the reason she's reacting like that is she's like, I feel this feeling and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what's going to happen. The only thing I can do is freak all the way out.
Yeah. Because, like, we always joke that, like, Jude is at the stage now where, like, he did that thing, right? But, like, now he's at the stage, I don't know that he knows better or what, but he's not massively upset if you don't feed him right on time. He starts to get a little agitated, but, like, there's that thing where it's as if they, which I think it's probably true, they don't know if they're ever going to get fed again.
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't know if I'm ever going to eat again.
Right.
I'm feeling hungry. My life is over. I'm freaking all the way out.
Right.
When you're weaned, like, a weaned baby can just, like, sit calmly and, like, hey, I mean, I may get hungry, but that person that I have all this life experience with is going to hook me up.
Right.
I don't understand food. I don't understand how food is made. I don't understand what food is made from.
Right.
I don't understand why I can eat this and I can't eat my toys.
Right.
I don't understand any of that. But that person in my life has hooked me up all day, every couple hours, for my entire life.
Yeah.
I'm starting to learn that. And as a result, I'm starting to calm down.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole, now, look, to be fair, like Jack, when he's hungry, the way he talks about it is he's like, I'm going to die. I'm so hungry. I'm going to die. Like, bro, you don't understand. I'm going to die soon.
Mm.
And you're like, would you just calm yourself down?
Yeah.
You've never gone without one meal in your entire life.
Right.
And Anna's that way too. And Sue, Nora is fine. She's just fine.
She's just content.
She's just fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so the spiritual connection there is like, there are so many things that happen in my life. And like, I think this is the end. I want to understand it. I want to know the why. I want to know why. And I want to know when. Mm-hmm. I want to know how long this is going to be happening. And I want to know for what reason it's happening.
Yeah.
You almost never know those things in your life about any of your suffering, any of your problems, or any of your pain. But when you have the experience of like, I have experienced that God takes care of me, and I'm learning that certain things are above my pay grade.
Mm.
I'm not invited to those meetings. I don't know why this is happening to
me.
I don't know when it's going to end. But my experience with God is that God loves me, He cares about me, and He's going to hook me up in some way.
Right.
And so I calm myself like a weaned child. I mean, that is just such a brilliant metaphor for growing in your relationship and trust with the Lord.
I think that's cool. I want to go back to I said a thing at the beginning of this that's completely speculative, but I think it's really important. It's the idea that David either was aware of himself in the sense that he knows he's dramatic. He knows that he wants to know all those things. So he's trying to call himself to that, which I think is a really cool practice. Like, I think it's an important thing to take inventory and be aware of your shortcomings, whether in like, that may be a blind spot you don't know about.
Well, that's what's so cool about, like, my heart isn't proud. Like, I don't know what I don't know.
Right. So like, I think that's a really interesting thing to be willing and open to people around you who you trust. And like, it's not going to be a pretty thing or necessarily a fun thing, but it should be to hear, hey, you don't see this, all right? Like, you probably need to work on that. Which, like, maybe David had somebody, I don't know. But I think it's a cool thing that he could possibly be saying to himself, like, hey, you know what I know is true about me? I usually get freaked out about all this stuff. And, like, I need to know all the answers. And I just, okay, so let me call myself to the better part of that, which is, I don't know, and I want to be content anyway. Like, which I think is really cool.
Exactly.
Which he wrote it, maybe somewhere he could read it often. I don't know. And we happen to have a dictation of it. Or it's quite possible that he's an old dude who's lived through life and he's finally gotten past it. And he's just writing from his experience, which I think is really cool. One thing I often do, which is so silly, like all of my fictional heroes are old people. And it's because they're just wise and they're calm, they're chill, they're peaceful, and they have a lot of wisdom.
So like, Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, well, to call him,
SpongeBob.
All right. I would have said
Barney Stinson.
All right, man. I would have said Sherlock Holmes. I would have said Tom Bombadil.
All right, man.
I would have said I was Dumbledore.
Okay.
Okay. So like, let's put a soup there. Let's fix. And like, the truth about those folks is, like, one, they're fictional, but two, in their fictional lives, in their fictional worlds, and the truth about anyone who
Billy Madison.
All right. Your boy's trying to make a point. I think a pretty cool one.
I see what's happening here.
I'm not even going to finish that. That's how peeved I am. You literally put it on a tee and I decided not to.
Oh, I thought of an old one. Marty!
Oh my gosh.
Dr. Emmett L. Brown.
The two people I can do an impersonation of, an impression of. But like, they have lived things.
Yes.
And they've,
yes,
they've experienced things that have gotten to where they are. And a lot of times I'll think of myself in that way. Like, what is going to be, Lord willing, I get to whatever age that is where I'm finally past the thing.
Yeah.
What is it now and how can I get there quicker?
Right.
So like, that's like, and that goes back to like being able to have conversations with people and figure that stuff out. And then game planning, like, what is the thing? Like, oh man, just like, what are the things that are my trip ups? What are the things that I constantly am going back to? What are the things that, like, and I'm not talking about like some bright, obvious things. I'm talking about things that are probably like tough and they can be easy to just revert to and require a lot of thinking and planning. But like, what are they and how can I think and plan about them?
Yeah.
What's the thing that like I have some experience in and I don't particularly love, and the Lord may want it a different way for me. And how do I get there? How do I get to the place where like I could be someone who is writing a poem about this?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's a, I don't know. I think it's a cool thought maybe.
It's super cool. I love that. I'm glad you brought that psalm out. Hebrews chapter 8. A little background before the verses that we're going to read. In Hebrews chapter 8, the author of the book of Hebrews is talking about Jesus as our high priest. Yeah. That in the Jewish like religious system, they had these people called priests who performed functions and services as to be a mediator between people and God. Like the priest is like, I'm going to do something for you that you can't do for yourself that will connect you to God.
Okay.
I'm going to perform a ceremony that will cleanse your sins. I'm going to go make peace with him so that you guys can be good. And then above the priest was the high priest who performed, you know, the one ceremony on the Day of Atonement every, you know, once a year in the Holy of Holies in the tent of meeting or in the temple or whatever. And he's just talking about how Jesus is a better high priest and that he has a better ministry. And he says this. And then he gets into this thing where he quotes Jeremiah chapter 31 from the Old Testament. Oh, it's so good. But so this is going to be, you know, strap in. This is quite a bit. This is verse 6. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs, that's the other high priest, as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. So cool. So he's like, one of the things here is the new covenant is superior to the old one. And the new covenant has better promises.
Hmm.
We're going to pick up all these pieces later. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. A covenant just means like a deal.
Hmm.
Let's make a deal. And not like the Barry Wortman sense of the word deal.
I just was thinking of the TV show.
Oh, let's make a deal, the TV show.
Let's make a deal.
Are you whistling the theme song to Let's Make a Deal?
To.
The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant. And I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Mm. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. Okay, so here's some things he said about the old deal. The old deal is inferior to the new deal. The old deal's priests had a less effective ministry than the high priest of the new deal. The old deal has been rendered obsolete and is going away because of the new deal. The new deal is superior, has a better and more effective high priest, and is founded on better promises, and is pushing the old one out because it's just awesome.
Yeah.
And every time I go through the book of Hebrews and I read that again, I get so encouraged, because the most natural place for my brain to go when reckoning this, like, if somebody was just to ask you, like, hey, how are you and God this week?
Hmm.
How are you guys doing? How's your relationship? The most natural place for my brain to go is to calculate my answer based on the old covenant.
Yeah.
The old deal.
Yeah.
The old deal goes like this. If you do the things you're supposed to do, then you and God are okay.
Yeah.
If you don't, then you have to make that right.
Mm.
You've got to do some things to clean up that mess.
Yeah.
Or you have to get, you know, this dude to do those things for you, but you still got to buy an animal and you still got to take it there. And then you still got to wield the knife and the whole thing. And then he performs this ceremony.
Mm.
But it comes down to this. It's your performance.
Mm.
Either obey the rules or do the things that you need to do to make things right. It's right on you. How are you and God? Well, we're not having such a good week because I haven't been keeping up my end of the bargain.
Right.
The new covenant goes like this. Jesus has paid for everything, period. The status of my relationship with God is, because I've said yes to Jesus' offer, I am utterly and 100% and forever completely forgiven, clean, and declared as righteous as Jesus.
Hmm.
I didn't do any of it.
Yeah.
I didn't prepare anything. I didn't pay for anything. I didn't wield the knife. I didn't perform the ceremony. I didn't have anything to do with it. I literally just said yes to an offer that was completely handed to me, paid for me. I didn't lift a finger.
Right.
And so when anybody, the true answer is when anybody asks a person who's received Jesus, hey, how are you and God doing this week? The true answer is, we're amazing.
Yeah.
And it's because of him.
Right.
That's cool. I'd like to hang out with him more, and I probably need to, but like, when you're just asking, how are we? We literally, like, he's done everything.
Right.
We actually couldn't be closer.
That's cool.
Like, I may want to nuzzle up to him.
Yeah.
But like, I am completely forgiven. I'm not in trouble. He's not disappointed in me. I'm not on the outside of anything.
Mm.
And he's with me all the time. He's never left me. And he adores me.
Hmm.
And I just love pointing this out because it's like, it is a better deal.
Yeah.
It's just a better deal.
Yeah.
And I love that he actually says, like, it just renders the old one obsolete. It's right. Like, it's founded on better promises. What's the better promise? I don't have to do anything. We're just good because of what he, I thought I was going to out yawn you on this episode, but it didn't happen.
I'm the one with the hat on. No, so I think this is fantastic. There's something you read in there remind me of that little, there's a little cool thing in the book of Titus where there's just like a tiny little thing in verse 2 where it says God, it's talking about God, and it says, like, who cannot lie.
Yeah,
which is such a cool thought. Like, God can't lie. God doesn't lie. So like, those, if that is true, which I don't know what you read that reminded me of that, which I thought was awesome. But like, the idea of the old deal being obsolete is absolutely true. The idea of it disappearing, the only people keeping that around are us. It's not God.
Yeah.
He's like, if he doesn't lie and it's obsolete.
Yeah.
That's true.
He rendered it obsolete.
Right. It is over. Factually obsolete. It is over. The reason why, like, it's having a hard time disappearing, it's not because of him.
Yeah, I keep pinning it to the fridge.
Right. That's it right there.
For me to like fill in to see how I'm doing.
Right. See how, yeah. And like, it just keeps getting passed down from generation to generation, and it's not by him. So I think that's a really cool thing. I wish collectively as followers of Jesus, we would all just like take a balloon out in the yard filled with helium and just let it go and say, there it goes. There's the old covenant. Like, let's view it that way. It's all gone. We're not going to talk about it anymore. We're not going to think that way anymore. But
no, that's serious. If Thomas ever suggests anything that's bad for the environment or for trout eventually, that's, you know, it's serious.
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't mean to make you sad.
Think of a different thing.
I'm sorry. I made you sad.
Let's all take a watermelon and we'll throw it off our back porch.
Okay.
And as it goes, when it hits the ground, that's the old deal.
Covenant.
Yeah, it's just an explosion.
Or you can just take a sledgehammer and Gallagher that mug.
Yeah. Last night, Maddie and I were having a serious conversation, and she said, "Oh my gosh, Thomas, I need you to look out the window." And this is it's like full daylight still, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
There's a raccoon sitting on our handrail eating my bird seed.
What a jerk, man!
Happens all the time. So I ran outside, grabbed a shoe, and threw it at it. It didn't go anywhere. I thought it was going to charge me. And then I threw another shoe at it, and it leaped off our porch into my flower bed and then like limped away. That's what made me think of the watermelon explosion, because it almost had a raccoon explosion.
It, like, because it was on your porch, it had an ankle injury.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad your ankles are.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, Donnie's making them better.
You curse the ankles that are like near you. You know, and then you were like to the raccoon, "I'm so sorry about your ankle." And the raccoon was like, "No worries.
It's actually the rag man. Like, I just take his ankle. He takes mine." It's my second rag man reference in a week.
Oh my gosh. That's fantastic. Yeah. Let's not put ourselves under the old covenant. How are you and God doing? You're great.
Yeah.
He loves you. He's forgiven you.
Yeah.
Nuzzle up to him. Just hang out with him.
Yeah.
He's waiting on us.
He is.
And you don't have to do anything.
It's cool.
You just get to show up. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, folks. I know there are fewer and fewer of you all the time, but we're so, so grateful for each and every single one of you.
We have some a couple special things coming up in the next few weeks.
Merch?
Dang. It's way less special than that.
My bad.
No, merch would be sick, dude.
Merch would be so sick.
I don't know if anybody would wear it. I don't know if I'd wear it.
So not that sick.
I almost just called our merch. I almost described it as saying, having the word "say that" on it. That's a different podcast.
That is.
Yeah, I don't know what is the matter with me. But no, our friend Lee is actually, you can keep him in your prayers, he's going to Spain.
Yeah.
Where we, I don't know why that tickled me so much. The humble, yay. Yay. So we're going to have a couple of guest spots in the next few weeks, which I'm excited about.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We hope you join us, even if you've fallen out of favor with the podcast.
Yeah. I've heard more often than not, I used to listen to that podcast. Not more often than not. I've heard it a few times lately, which stuff cracks me up. I'm just okay. I don't care. Do what you want.
Thanks, guys. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient New.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, is in the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, the Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad. The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad.